De-radicalisation programs have been tried around the world with mixed results in places like the UK, the US and, of course, Australia. How much tougher it must be when you're trying to work in Pakistan, right on the border with Afghanistan, working with the Pakistan Army. Surely, in that circumstance, the results would be even worse than those in places like the US, UK and Australia. Well, not true when it comes to Dr. Farhar Paracha, who's a psychologist involved in de-radicalisation, rehabilitation of young militants in Pakistan. Her results have been amazing. As part of this Pakistan Army project, they've deprogrammed and reintegrated 192 former young radicals. The recidivism rate, zero. The recidivism rate, zero. One former US counterterrorism chief has described the project's work as incredible. So what's the procedure? What's the method used? Well, Farhar Paracha is on the line. She's here as part of the Australian National University's Women in National Security Conference, and she's on the line. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Richard. Thank you for this opportunity.
Well, can you tell us what you're doing? What you're doing so right?
Well, it's not me, first of all. It's my group of psychologists, all women, and a whole lot of social workers. They are men, but they all work diligently with every child, profiling their individual push and pull factors, their morbid trends, their circumstantial triggers that prompted them to join militancy, and work towards what they need to be children again, because we want them to be children again. So we give them education, we give them vocational training, and most importantly, sports. Nothing has worked better than sports. So they play a lot of matches with the army, with each other, with other children, and they begin to heal. And I think, yes, empathy is very important. They know that we are there to help them, that we try to understand why they did it. And it has worked. It takes time. Not every child is the same. So sometimes it has taken us 6 months, sometimes a year, sometimes 2 years. And I think the other reason why the program is successful, the Army has many other projects also, but this one is run by us, and we do capacity building for the others in Bara and in Quetta and other areas. But this one we are involved very closely in day-to-day running. And after we reintegrate them, we monitor them for up to 5 years. Our promise to them is you can do what you like in this life. Heaven can wait. you can do what you like, and we'll support you on merit.
Okay, so I mean, this is an answer to the Islamist ideology that you should die and get your reward in heaven.
Yes, yeah. But that can wait.
That can wait till later. Farhar, I think my image is of these young Islamist-affected boys, that they might react badly to women, but you say no.
I thought so also initially when I took the challenge without thinking things through. I thought, oh my goodness, you know, they come from an environment where women are restricted. They're not supposed to go out. They're not supposed to be involved in a man's world. But that I could feel the over-controlled hostility for some time, but it soon dissolved. And they had been lonely being in the mountains in different markas where they were trained. And I think they were looking for some softness in their life. And they responded very well to all the female staff. And in fact, I think the first time their narratives exposed what they had been doing was to the female psychologists. And I guess they trusted us. They thought we would not harm them. And we did not. I think this is why at this conference I have promoted in all the interruptions that I made that it's so important that women are involved in de-radicalization projects more closely.
Because maybe what they're searching for is some sort of parenting, do you think?
Yes, I think so, especially children. See, I can't say that about the adults because whereas we have done the capacity building for the other projects, we have not been involved directly with the inducted. And so I'm not sure that if we had been involved with them, what would have been the result. But for children and adolescents and young adults, I can certainly say that it has worked.
Okay, these boys, I should say, are between about 8 and 16, aren't they?
8 to 18, yes.
8 to 18, okay. Mm-hmm. And you say when they first come in, you use the word brainwashed to describe them.
Yes, being psychologists, we were always keen on assessments initially. So we did, first of all, their narrative lacked critical thinking skills. For example, they were told by the terrorist commanders that it is written in the Quran that you do this to Pakistan and you do this because it's an American army. And they didn't think that there could be no Pakistan, no Quran at that time, 1,500 years ago. So we did logical reasoning tests, you know, basic logical reasoning tests from our profession. And we found them to be between 5th to the 20th percentile at the most, but mostly at 5th to 7th percentile. That's ridiculously low.
Okay, so they've got very bad reasoning skills. Do you think
that's right.
Do you think that's been created in them by the brainwashing, or is it the fact that they've got low reasoning skills led to them being vulnerable to brainwashing?
I think the latter, and I think this is something that pertains to schools in the rural areas. For example, the schools we are working at, we're trying to do a lot of PVE work, preventing violent extremism, in areas where the recruitment was the highest, and we find even in those schools the critical thinking skills to be very low. And I think one reason is because there are, let's say, 100 kids to a classroom. They cannot ask questions. But this is true across the board. It's mostly rote learning, not in all schools. In progressive schools, there is inquiry-based learning. But in a classroom with 100 kids to a class, the teacher doesn't have the time to answer questions, so they're not encouraged to ask questions. So they accept whatever is said to them. Secondly, they lack the awareness of reading up on what's happening in their country. They lack basic citizenship skills. And to them, for example, Islamabad was far away. And one of the activities that we do indulge in is having them travel to Islamabad, to the other sites, like, for example, the Sawat Valley is full of Gandhara sites. Gandhara was a fusion between the Greco-Roman and the Buddhist religion. And there are beautiful sites. So just looking at the time scales there, it was an eye-opener for them that, you know, this is, development has gone on for a very, very long time. So these are the kind of things we try to educate them in all facets and make it fun, make it enjoyable.
Yes. Dr. Afi Rahab Paracha is with us. She's here as part of the Australian National University's Women in National Security Conference. She's achieved these amazing results with these children between 8 and 18 on the border of Pakistan and Afghanistan, kids who have been essentially brainwashed. And she, through these processes of logical thinking and maternal empathy, has managed to have this extraordinary result of 192 of them being deprogrammed and reintegrated. Can I just ask you finally, Fireha, you say that you followed them afterwards. When they look back at their brainwashed selves, do they sort of have some comment on the person they used to be?
Yes, they can almost they are. It's like they. In retrospect, they wonder how that ever happened. And they are keen to learn so much now. They all want computers, and they all want to learn about the world. They want to learn about the U.S., and because I travel a lot to the U.S. and U.K. and India, they want to learn about those places. They almost joke between themselves. Hey, you know what I used to think, and you know what I said, you know what you said. So that is good that they are not damaged by that. That they can move on and learn to accommodate more rather than lament about where they were.
Yeah, and I love the fact that they kind of almost don't recognize their earlier radicalized and brainwashed selves. All power to you, Fireha, and we hope the rest of the world can learn something from what you're doing right there on the border of Pakistan and Afghanistan. Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thank you so much.
Dr. Fireha Paracha is a psychologist involved in the de-radicalisation and rehabilitation of young militants in Pakistan here at the Australian National University's Women in National Security Conference.